Hello and welcome to your GCSE Sociology Revision Podcast. Today we're tackling one of the most important topics in the whole specification, theory and methods. Once you understand this topic, everything else in sociology clicks into place. So grab a pen and let's get started. Section 1. The Big Theoretical Perspectives. Sociology is all about understanding society, how it works, why people behave the way they do, and what causes inequality and change. Sociologists come from very different theoretical traditions, and the exam will ask you to compare them. Let's start with functionalism. Functionalists like Emil Durkheim see society as a bit like a human body. Every part has a function that keeps the whole thing working. The family socialises children, education prepares us for work, religion creates shared values. Functionalism is a consensus theory. It focuses on what holds society together. The key concept here is value consensus, the idea that most people share the same basic norms and values. Durkheim's famous study of suicide, published in 1897, is a brilliant example. He used official statistics to show that suicide rates varied between social groups, arguing that social integration was the key factor. Now contrast that with Marxism. Karl Marx saw society very differently. For Marx, society is built on conflict, specifically class conflict. The bourgeoisie, that's the ruling class who own the means of production, exploit the proletariat, the working class. Everything in society, the law, education, the media, serves the interests of the powerful. Marxism is a conflict theory and a structural theory. For the exam, remember, Marxism says social policy often benefits the ruling class, not ordinary people. Then we have feminism. Feminist sociologists argue that society is patriarchal, structured to benefit men at the expense of women. Like Marxism, feminism is a conflict theory. There are different strands. Liberal feminism focuses on legal equality. Radical feminism argues patriarchy is embedded in all social institutions. And Marxist feminism links gender inequality to capitalism. Finally, there's interactionism, also called social action theory. This is a micro-level approach. Instead of looking at big social structures, interactionists focus on small-scale, face-to-face interactions. Max Weber introduced the concept of Verstehen, which means empathetic understanding. To understand human behaviour, you need to understand the meanings people attach to their actions. Interactionists prefer qualitative research methods because they want to capture those subjective meanings. Section 2. Research methods. Right, let's talk about how sociologists actually do their research. This is a huge part of the specification, and the exam loves asking you to evaluate methods. First, the big distinction, quantitative versus qualitative data. Quantitative data is numerical, statistics, percentages, survey results. Qualitative data is rich and descriptive, interview transcripts, observation notes, personal documents. There's also the distinction between primary and secondary data. Primary data is collected first-hand by the researcher. Questionnaires, interviews, observations, experiments. Secondary data already exists. Official statistics, newspapers, historical documents, previous research. Questionnaires and surveys are popular because they're quick, cheap, and can reach large numbers of people. They produce quantitative data that's easy to compare. But people may not answer honestly, and closed questions can miss the complexity of people's real views. Positivists love questionnaires. Interpretivists are more sceptical. Interviews come in two main types. Structured interviews use the same questions in the same order. Unstructured interviews are more like conversations. The researcher follows the participant's lead, giving rich qualitative data, but less time-consuming and harder to compare. Observation is fascinating. Participant observation means the researcher actually joins the group they're studying. Overt means the group knows they're being studied.
Covert means they don't. Covert observation raises serious ethical issues around deception and informed consent. A classic example is James Patrick's covert study of a Glasgow gang in 1973. Field experiments do occur in sociology, like Rosenthal and Jacobson's 1968 study, which showed that teacher expectations affected people performance. That's a brilliant named example for your exam. Official statistics are secondary data produced by the government. Crime statistics, census data, unemployment figures. They're useful because they're large scale and free to access, but they can reflect the biases of those in power, so treat them critically.
Section 3, the science debate and values in sociology. This is where it gets really interesting. Can sociology be a science? This is a classic exam question, and you need to be able to argue both sides. Positivists say yes. Auguste Comte, the founder of sociology, argued that society could be studied scientifically, using objective methods, looking for patterns and laws of behaviour, just like natural scientists study the physical world. Durkheim's suicide study is the go-to example. He used statistics to identify social facts, external forces that shape human behaviour. Interpretivists say no, or at least not in the same way. Weber argued that human behaviour is fundamentally different from the behaviour of atoms or planets, because humans attach meaning to their actions. You can't understand why someone committed suicide just by looking at statistics. You need to understand their subjective experience. Interpretivists also argue that the researcher always brings their own values and perspectives to the research, making true objectivity impossible. Then there's the question of value freedom. Can sociologists be truly objective? Max Weber argued that sociologists should try to be value free in their research. But Alvin Goldner criticised this, arguing that values inevitably influence every stage of the research process, from choosing the topic to interpreting the data. For the exam, the key is to show you understand both sides of this debate and can reach a balanced judgment. Section 4, exam tips and common mistakes. Okay, let's talk marks. Here are my top tips for theory and methods questions. Tip 1, always link theory to methods. If a question asks you to evaluate a research method, bring in the theoretical perspective that supports or criticizes it. Positivists favour quantitative methods, interpretivists favour qualitative ones. Examiners love this connection. Tip 2. Use the acronym PEAT to evaluate any research method. P stands for practical considerations. Is it time-consuming, expensive? E stands for ethical considerations. Does it involve deception? T stands for theoretical considerations. Does it fit with a positivist or interpretivist approach? And the final E stands for epistemological considerations. What kind of knowledge does it produce? Tip 3. For the science debate question, structure your answer as a balanced argument. Start with the case for sociology being a science, use Durkheim and positivism, then argue against, use Weber and interpretivism, then reach a judgment. Don't just describe, evaluate. Tip 4. Named examples worth marks. Durkheim's suicide study, 1897. Rosenthal and Jacobson's experiment, 1968. James Patrick's covert observation, 1973. Learn these and use them. Common mistakes to avoid. Don't confuse quantitative with primary data. They're different things. Quantitative refers to the type of data. Primary refers to who collected it. Don't say a method is good or bad without explaining why in context. And don't forget to consider ethics. Examiners always credit ethical awareness. Section 5. Quickfire recall quiz. Right, let's test yourself. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the difference between positivism and interpretivism? Positivism argues sociology can be scientific and objective. Interpretivism argues we must understand subjective meanings. Question 2.
Name one advantage and one disadvantage of using questionnaires. Advantage: large samples, quick, cheap, quantitative data. Disadvantage: low response rates, lack of depth, social desirability bias. Question 3. What does PEAT stand for? Practical, ethical, theoretical, epistemological. Question 4. Which sociologist conducted a famous study of suicide using official statistics? Emile Durkheim in 1897. Question 5. What is Verstehen? Weber's concept of empathetic understanding, seeing the world from the perspective of the people you're studying. Section 6. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Theory and methods is the backbone of GCSE sociology. Know your four main perspectives: functionalism, Marxism, feminism, and interactionism, and be able to compare them. Understand the difference between quantitative and qualitative methods, and primary and secondary data. Evaluate any research method using PEAT. Know both sides of the science debate, positivism versus interpretivism, and use named examples, Durkheim, Weber, Marx, Rosenthal and Jacobson, to pick up those precious extra marks. Remember, in the exam, the examiner is looking for you to show sociological thinking. Not just describe, but analyze, evaluate, and reach a judgment. Every extended answer should have a clear conclusion. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember that understanding the theory behind the methods is what separates a grade 4 from a grade 8. Good luck. I'm rooting for you. This has been your GCSE Sociology Theory and Methods Revision Podcast. See you next time.